Now, our scripture reading today will be taken from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. If you're visiting today, we're going straight through this book, and you've joined us as we've come to an interesting part of this 28th chapter, verses 15 to 48. It's a lengthy section, and it primarily is a section that God is using to communicate negative warnings in an attempt to motivate His people to choose to obey the Word of God so they don't have to experience the warnings. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 15. "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, with which I'm charging you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you're destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he's consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with sword and with blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways before them. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you. It will not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. Your sons and daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there will be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there they shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become a horror, a proverb, a taunt among all the people. Where the Lord drives you, you shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you will neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce your ground. The alien who's among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. So, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God. By keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you, they shall become a sign and wonder on you and your descendants forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, You shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. That's a serious, serious text of Scripture. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of it and the exposition of it later. Will you join with me, please, in prayer? Our Father, we bow before you this morning, having read a passage like this, and we certainly have to admit, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, the God who is almighty. We want to pause on this Lord's Day to thank you for everything that you've done for us and thank you for everything that you've given to us. The blessings that we've had the privilege of experiencing in this life have come from thee. They're too numerous for us even to count. And we want to just take a moment to thank you for every one of them. Lord, I pray that you would keep us from ever reaching such a low spirituality that you would have to inflict upon us the list of things you do here in the book of Deuteronomy. We would ask that you would work in our minds and hearts so that we realize the importance of obeying you in every dimension of life, and that we would also realize that's the key to experiencing all the blessings that you want to give to us. Help us to think through decisions carefully that we make in view of the Scriptures. I pray that you would convict us of wandering away from you and make us sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we immediately respond to that conviction. Lord, we read this list and we cannot help but pray for our country, because we look at the list of things that you say that you'll do to a nation. It's scary what you have the potential of doing. What we would ask, dear Lord, is that you would turn the leaders' minds of this nation to make good, rational, moral decisions so that you can continue to bless us here. We pray that you would save those in high offices, in high places, and begin the process of transforming their minds. Forgive us for what we've done in regard to thee. We know, Lord, that as a nation we've sinned against you. We've taken you almost out of everything. We've taken you out of schools. We've taken prayer out of schools, your word out of schools. We promote horrible things like the execution of life in a mom's womb. We have reached such a mental depravity that many people cannot even determine if one is a male or female anymore. God, that tells us we've departed a long way from what's decent and even sane. So please help us, Lord. Please come to the aid of your people. Help the leaders to see truth. Help the leaders to understand that you're the God who provides and blesses the country. You're the God who provides oil and food and security. And please protect us. We ask that those that are in political office would be more concerned about being popular with you than they are with the people. And one other thing we would pray, Lord, come get us soon. Oh, we look forward to that. Come get us soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, and for those of you that have been through bibliology and theology proper, you are aware of this because Mr. Kelly teaches this in doctrine. There are three main proper nouns that are used in the Bible for God, and they are spelled a little bit differently in your English translations. You have capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the noun Jehovah that is used in English translations that refers to the fact that God is the sovereign covenant God of the nation Israel. Then you have capital L, small case, O-R-D. That's Adonai, and that refers to the fact that God is a sovereign controller over everything, the master of the universe, we could call him. And then you have, of course, God, which is capital G-O-D, which is the noun Elohim, which means that he is the sovereign creator over all things who can do whatever he wants to do. Now, we'll observe as we look at the 34 verses we're looking at today that the noun that shows up the most is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the sovereign covenant God of Israel, which is used 14 times in these verses. Moses is stressing the fact that God is in a covenant relationship with the nation Israel. Now, we need to understand something about a covenant relationship that God has with Israel, and in fact, the covenant relationship that God has with us. Israel is always going to be the apple of God's eye. There's nothing that can change that. There is a covenant relationship that God has with Israel that cannot and will not ever be changed. Israel one day is going to have that land because of that. Israel's going to have a righteous king reigning over her in that land because of that. Israel one day is going to be esteemed as the nation of God because of that, because God is in a covenant relationship with that nation. But then there's also what we would call covenant fellowship that God would have with Israel. That can be changed. In other words, Israel will always be a covenant nation of God. Nothing is ever going to change that point. That point was even stressed by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, who said all Israel will be saved. Paul made it clear that this covenant relationship guarantees Israel one day will be a nation that will experience a national salvation and shall be in her land with the full blessings of God. So, Israel cannot lose a covenant relationship with God. What Israel can lose, and what she has lost, is covenant fellowship with God. When God's people lose covenant fellowship with God, God frankly just causes their world to fall apart. They can't lose salvation. What they can lose are the blessings of God. And the same God that saved Israel as a nation can cause a whole bunch of negative things to hit that same nation. Now, here's where this becomes very applicable to us. We who believe in Jesus Christ are also in a covenant relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have a covenant relationship with God that guarantees us everlasting life. You can't lose that. You can't lose your salvation. Once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in a covenant relationship with God. What we can lose is covenant fellowship with God. Now, God's program right now is primarily not aimed at national Israel, but individual Gentiles. It's an international program, we would say. It's not a national program for Israel. It's an international program that reaches out to individuals all over the world. And that's exactly what Paul said in Romans 11:11, that the program of God has now swung in. We've been grafted into a program with Israel, and we now are being called into the family of God. But here's the thing. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that we can lose covenant fellowship with God, and God can cause our lives and our world to completely fall apart, just like he did with Israel. And the thing that causes God to cut off covenant fellowship with covenant people is disobedience. It's true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament. Family life in the family of God can be a wonderful, blessed experience, or it can be filled with negative disasters. The indicators that God has covenant fellowship with his people is that he blesses them in a variety of ways, in a variety of contexts. We saw those indicators last week. God said, this is what I'll do for my people if they obey me, if they're faithful to me. But the indicator that we're not in good covenant fellowship with God is that he negatively chastises them. Now, in verses 1 to 13, God promised some amazing blessings if his people would obey his word. And last time we saw 15 specific blessings that he promised to his people if they would simply obey him. They would have great fellowship with God. They would receive wonderful blessings from the Lord. And as Moses was wrapping up the blessing section, he said in verse 14, do not turn aside from the words of God. Boy, he drove that point home. He said, if you want all these blessings, if you want to have wonderful fellowship with God and all the blessings that God wants to give you, then you take his words very, very seriously, and you take his words seriously, and do not turn away from any of those words. And in chapter 27, verses 15 to 26 of Deuteronomy, God gave that list of sins that God says, you turn to this stuff and it'll cause him to turn against you and you'll lose your fellowship with him and a bunch of negative things will happen to you. Then, after he says that in verse 14, he follows that up in verse 15 by saying, if you don't obey the words and if you don't purpose to observe all the commandments of God, not only will you lose covenant fellowship with the Lord, which is a positive thing, but also God will track you down with 29 chastising judgments. You'll not be overtaken with blessings, you'll be overtaken with negative cursings. And that's the point here. I mean, obviously, the point of this lengthy section is if God's people don't obey the word of God, he's going to send, as near as we can count, 29 cursing, chastising judgments against his own people. If God's people don't obey the word of God, if they don't take it seriously, God says you're going to receive the exact opposite of the blessings I would have given you. And just as I would allow those blessings to track you down and overtake you, so I'll allow also the negative stuff to track you down and overtake you. You won't be able to stop it. Now, as we go through this list of things, we certainly could see that most of these things did happen to national Israel in the history of her existence. And we also can be warned that these kinds of things can happen to us individually and certainly could happen to a nation like the United States. If God didn't spare Israel these things, he's not going to spare the United States if they turn away from him and turn to things that are, by his classification, evil. Now, there are some commentators who jump over this text. I actually went through one of my commentaries, and they went through the blessing section, but they came to this section, and they just skipped it completely. But if we're honest with the Word of God, you can't evade these verses. You can't escape these verses. You can't explain them away. They're there. God gave them in this very context. One commentator said that he knew a man who was so enraged by what he read in this chapter that he actually tore this particular page out of his Bible. And his reasoning was, how could a loving God, possibly say that he's going to do these things to his own people? And here's where people miss the point. He's a loving God, but he's a holy God. When Isaiah first saw the throne of God, he didn't say love, love, love. He said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Tonight, in Revelation chapter 4, the Apostle John gets his first glimpse of heaven. And John's not at his first glimpse going, love, love, love. He's hearing, holy, holy, holy. God's people need to understand this about God. He's a holy God. Yes, he loves his people, but he loves them too much to get away with evil stuff. Now, we have a struggle in this world. We've got our own flesh. And that certainly is in a struggle that we have within ourselves. Then there's this world, and then there's the devil at work. And we need to stay close to the Word of God. Because those three enemies of ours will pull us away from fellowship with God. But more than that, they can pull us right into the chastisements of God. And J. Vernon McGee said, when you read this, you're reading here the history of Israel in written form. Now, there are 29 cursing, chastising judgments, and I'm going to take you through every one of them. First of all, God said, I'll curse my covenant people in the city or country. That's what he says in verse 16. You'll be cursed in the city, you'll be cursed in the country. If God decides to implement chastising judgments, you can't hide. Don't care where you go. That's his point. His point is, when I decide I'm going to chastise my people, they could move in the country, they could move in the, they could go to some island. Thinking, I'm just going to get away from this. God says, no, it isn't going to work. If I decide that I'm going to chastise my people because you're disobedient, I'm going to track you down. You can't run from me. I see where you go. I see every move you make. I see where you live. I see when you get up in the morning. I see when you go to bed at night. And so you can live in the city, you can live in the country, and I'll come after you. The second curse is I'll curse your food preparation and supply. Verse 17, I'll curse your basket and your kneading bowl. Now again, we're talking here about God going right into somebody's house. These are instruments that women use to make meals in their own home. God says, I see that woman there in that home. I see what she's trying to do to provide food for her family. If you turn away from me, if you turn away from my word and you don't take it seriously and you get involved in evil stuff, I'll see to it that you will not succeed. This wife, this mother, won't even be able to make enough food for her family to eat. She'll have to scrounge around trying to get a meal. And you say, did that ever happen? Read Lamentations. Read what happened to Israel when Titus went into Jerusalem in AD 70 and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and killed 1 million Jews. I mean, read that, what was happening. They literally were starving for food. Even the thought of eating children became an option. The third curse is, I'll curse your offspring. That's what he says in verse 18. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body. I want to talk to you parents here that have children. You need to have your children here in the Sunday school classes. You need to get them in here to Sunday school, because I'm telling you, they're living in a world that's not going to move them toward God. This Sunday school in this church will. It'll move them toward God and move them toward the church of God. And don't think for a moment that it isn't worth their time or your time to get here and get them into Sunday school, because your children need this, because if they don't get this and they pull themselves or they're pulled away from the Lord, they're going to end up a wreck. Now, parents just love to brag about their children. Most parents love to share how they're doing. They're doing real good. God says, look, you disobey me, you won't be bragging about your children. You won't be saying positive things about your children. In fact, I'm going to curse them. So you keep obeying me. And this is to the parents. You keep obeying me. The fourth curse is, I'll curse your fields. That's what he says in verse 18. You can work as hard as you want. You're not going to succeed. Your crops aren't going to grow. You can go out there and plant what you want, but it won't make it to harvest. You won't have enough to survive. The fifth curse is, I'll curse your cattle and your herds. The animals that can bring so much joy to someone are going to bring you misery. Those animals would be sick. Those animals that you could have that could provide for you, you're not going to have them. You're not going to own them. And there's nothing worse than when you see people and animals starving to death because they don't have food. What God says here is that you need to realize something. I caused that stuff. You think I'm just a God who is only involved in love, love, love? Well, you need to understand this. You move away from me and my word, I can actually cause people to starve. I can cause animals to starve. The sixth curse is, I'll curse you in all directions and locations. Verse 19 says that. You'll be cursed when you go in. You'll be cursed when you go out. Doesn't matter. God says, I don't care where you travel. You can travel in or out of your home. You can go in and out of state. You can go in and out of country. You're not going to get away from judgment. I mean, you can relocate, but it isn't going to work. Now, people today relocate for a lot of reasons. One is for jobs. I mean, if you are in an economy and there's no opportunities for work, I mean, one of the reasons people relocate, they go somewhere where they can get a job. God says, I'll see to it there aren't any jobs. It won't matter if you come in or out, you'll be cursed because I'm not going to provide them for you. Now, the seventh curse is, God says, I'll send curses, confusion, and rebuke to people. That's what he says in verse 20. I'll send curses, confusion, and rebuke. These are chastising judgments coming from God. People will be so confused, they won't even be able to come up with a plan to get themselves back on a path of a positive life. Man, we're reaching this, folks. I mean, people are confused. Nothing they try is going to work. And we are in a time period. I just heard a statistic Mary told me this week that a huge percentage of young people are on antidepressant drugs. A huge percentage of young people are on antidepressant drugs. They cannot seem to come up with a solution to get themselves out of this rut. The solution is seen at the end of verse 20. This is on account of the evil of your deeds because you've forsaken me. There's the reason for it. God says, the reason I allow stuff like that to happen is because people aren't serious about me or my word, so I just take away their ability to reason logically. The eighth curse is, God will send clinging pestilence to consume his people. Verse 21 is interesting. The Lord will make pestilence cling to you. I'm not sure what the pestilence is. The word is debar. Some type of plague pestilence that causes ultimately death. And when God would send it, there would be no easing up and no relief. It will cling to them like a magnet. They wouldn't be able to shake it or find any relief from it. This would be glued to them. You know, I heard one leader say, I would rather face and fight any enemy on the battlefield except pestilence. Because he said, when you're up against pestilence, that scares me. You can't fight it. You can't stop it. You can't defend against it. God says, that's what I'll use. I'll use that to track people down that are making a mockery of me. A ninth curse is, I'll smite people with disease until they perish. Verse 22 says, and I will smite them with consumption and with fever and with inflammation. The language that's used here describes the fact that people are getting sick and they're burning up with fever. There's a fiery heat that causes this extreme burning, both inward and outward. And not only will people be burning, but also the land, blight and mildew are mentioned there in verse 22. The plants are going to burn up too. So God's just causing everything to burn up. The tenth curse is, I will not give relief from heaven or earth. Verse 23, the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, the earth which is under you iron. Heaven will be like bronze, the earth like iron. You won't be able to pray to me and get any help. You won't be able to see heaven do anything favorable for you. You won't be able to see the earth produce anything favorable for you. I will not allow moisture to fall from the sky. I will not allow things to grow on the earth. And therefore, God says, I will track my people down with curses if they are not interested in obeying me. His 11th curse is, I'll send drought to the land. I'll see to it that your land is like powder and dust. I'll not send rain. I'll cause everything to become like a desert. It'll be in a drought. Peter says that's how God's going to, by the way, end this all. He's going to burn up the planet. He says it in 2 Peter 3:10. He says that God one day is going to burn up this world. And God says, I'm warning you, turn away from me and I'll do it in your own life. And then he says, 12th, I'll cause you to be defeated by enemies and scattered all over the world. That's what he says there in verse 25. Your enemies will come out one way, you'll flee seven ways. God says, look, instead of allowing you to have victory, I'm going to cause you to have one defeat after another. You're going to lose every single time. You're not going to win a war. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. I mean, she turned away from the word of God, turned away from the will of God. So he routed them with the Assyrians. Then he brought the Babylonians and the Medo-Persians. Then he brought Greece. Then he brought Rome. And there's still one more left to go. It's that world power that will be dominated by the Antichrist. It's going to take one more to finally get Israel to realize, you know, we ought to get right with God. You would think there are 15.2 million Jews in the world right now. 15.2 million. And when you look at those living in Israel, it's about 6.9 million. Now, you would think that somebody would say, you know, I wonder why we're scattered all over the world. It's like we've gone out all these different directions. We're supposed to be the nation of God in the promised land, experiencing the blessings of God. I wonder why it is we are scattered all over the world. They will not seek God. But what's happened to Israel can also happen to us as a country and also can happen to us as an individual. The 13th curse is God will cause death to his own people. That's what he says in verse 26. I'll just allow people to die. I won't even allow them to have an honorable funeral or burial. It's very clear that God says, I'm the one who controls the lifespan of an individual. I determine when they're born. I determine when they die. The 14th curse is in verse 27, I'll cause bodily infirmities that will not be able to be healed. I find this an interesting statement in verse 27. He says, from which you cannot be healed. He lists some things here. Boils. Boils are those violent, inflamed, little swelling bumps that come out. You know what a boil is. God says, I'll cause that. Then he mentions tumors. That's kind of a Hebrew word that would indicate hemorrhoid type of swelling or burning. Scabs. If we compare it to the context where the word is used here, gera in Leviticus, it could have something to do with the eyes, but it's an irritation that you would want to scrape it or scratch it. And then, of course, an itch, some type of burning itch that you do want to scratch, caused by some burning. But the text says at the end of the verse, you cannot be healed. In other words, no doctor, when I'm allowing these things to happen to you, is going to be able to solve this. It doesn't mean there aren't medicines out there. And it doesn't mean they can't prescribe medicines. What it means is you won't get rid of it. In other words, no matter what you do, no matter how much medicine you take, it isn't going to work. If you don't get serious about obeying me and my word, I'll see to it that these infirmities are just going to plague you and you're not going to get out of them. You're not going to be healed of them. Now, the 15th curse is there will be mental instability. Verse 28 says, the Lord will smite you with madness. Man, I'd say that's hit Washington already, wouldn't you? God says, I will cause your mind to think in ways that are insane. Now, when you have leaders of a nation debating whether a man can have a baby and an abortion, you'd have to say to yourself, it's like they've lost their minds. God says, I will see to it when you turn away from me that I take away your ability to make logical, rational decisions that make sense. The 16th curse is I'll cause blindness. And the blindness that he talks about, blindness and bewilderment of heart. I will cause a blindness to overtake the minds and hearts of people. They won't be able to think right. They won't be able to see anything that's right. They can't even judge what's right from what's wrong. They can't judge what's true, what's false. I'll take their ability to even make judgments away. And then I will cause spiritual instability. At the last part of verse 28, I will cause a blindness of heart. And I do not think people realize the ability to grow in the Lord and understand the Scriptures is an amazing grace gift and grant from the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians who were carnal, fleshly, they were being dominated by things they shouldn't have been being dominated by. He said to them, look, I wish I could feed you the meatier things, but I can't. You're not able to take it. You're not able to bear it. Why? They were under some type of sentence of God. The writer of Hebrews said, we're supposed to go on to maturity. But then he added this statement, and this we will do if God permits. Well, why wouldn't God permit his people to go on to maturity when he knows that's his will? That's the goal. He wouldn't let them go on to maturity because they would not get serious about him and his word. And he said, stay in your infant state. I'm not going to let you go on any further. I'm going to give you this spiritual instability for the rest of your life. The 18th curse is I will cause no prosperity. Verse 29. You will grope at noon, the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper. He said, I don't care what you do, what you're groping at, you're not going to prosper. You'll be groping in darkness. I will see to it that no matter what you try, no matter what your plan is, it fails. You end up poor, miserable, you end up a wretched disaster. The 19th curse is I'll remove all protection and I'll allow you to be robbed. I mean, that's what he says in verse 29. He says, and I'll see to it that you're robbed continually. Robbed continually. In other words, I will see to it that people come into your world and people come into your life and they are just stealing from you. I mean, man, where is this protection that a believer is supposed to have? I mean, a believer is supposed to have the protection of God. God says, I'll take that protection away from you. I'll let people come into your world and do horrible things to you. I mean, at one time David said, man, when I walk through a valley of a shadow of death, I don't fear anything. God says, you'll fear everything. I'll remove protection from you. And when that happens, you'll discover people will do negative things and I won't stop it. The 20th curse is God says, I will cause everything to be taken away from you. And he lists things there. I will cause you to lose your mates. I'll cause you to lose your house. I'll cause you to lose your vineyards. I'll cause you to lose your oxen and your donkeys and your sheep and your children. And I will cause you to lose everything. And there's a statement that is made at the end of verse 29 and at the end of verse 31, which is scary. The statement says, you have no Savior. No Savior. Oh, boy. This is God talking to his own people. And he's telling his people, if you turn away from me and my word, you can reach a point where I will no longer deliver you. You can cross that line. You can cry to me, but it won't work. You can call out to me, but I won't deliver you. Why? Because you would not obey my word. The 21st curse, God says, I'll let you see things that are going to drive you mad. Verse 34, you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. God says, you'll just see what I'm doing. I'm allowing the world to go crazy, and you'll see things that'll make you crazy. Watch the news. Do you see what's going on in the news? Although I don't actually watch it. Mary gives me a report. But if you look at the news, you'd have to say, when you have to sit there and watch things that drive you mad, we're there. We're there. People that are making decisions that are just, they're insane. God says, my judgment's here. That's what I do in judgment. I actually judge, and people make crazy decisions, and my people see it. They can't do anything about it. They can't stop it, except it drives them mad. The 22nd curse is, I'll strike you down with things from which you cannot be healed. That's what he says in verse 35. The Lord will strike you. And look at where he says he'll strike people, the knees and the legs. So this is more than just some national thing. God says, I actually watch individuals. I know individuals who love me and obey my word, and I know individuals who don't. And when I spot individuals who are my people, who are not interested in obeying me or my word, I will strike them down. Individually, I'll strike down their legs, I'll strike down their knees. I will permit various burning inflammations to attack various parts of a person's body from head to foot. Now, I have no idea. I mean, you don't want to get into a pattern of thinking that every person who has to go to a doctor is under the judgment of God if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, because that is wrong thinking. The fact of the matter is, Job had a lot of things go wrong with him physically. He certainly was not under any judgment of God. But I suspect that there are many people, if they really got serious about their relationship with the Lord, probably wouldn't have to go to the doctor anymore. Except for their annual checkups that Medicare makes them have. The 23rd curse is, God will cause foreigners to dominate his people. That's what he says in verse 36. I'll bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation which you neither have known nor your fathers have known, and there you will serve other gods, wood and stone. I mean, God says, I will allow godless powers who don't honor me and my word to dominate you. I'll let people come into power when I'm judging a nation or an individual. I'll let them come into power to dominate my people. The 24th curse is, I will cause my people to become a horror story. In verse 37, you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you. God says, I will cause the story of what I did to my people to be the talk of the world. You know, I just recently talked to someone who came to this country many, many years ago who's not from this country. And when they moved to this country, they were moving to this country because of opportunities. And they did it right. They did it legally. But they moved to this country to come here because of opportunities to work. This same person said, can you believe what's happening here now? Can you believe what you're seeing happen in this country? This is a person that isn't even from the country originally. The whole world's talking about this. What the world's talking about is a judgment of God. The 25th curse is, I'll not allow my people to prosper in their agricultural work. That's what he says in verses 38 to 40. God says, I won't permit you to succeed in any area of your life. You'll plant your crops. They'll fail. You'll have to depend on foreign powers for food. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy, because if they would just go back to obeying God, they would be self-sufficient. Don't you see that we are becoming a nation that has to depend on foreign powers for everything, including gas? It's crazy. God said, what you don't realize, I'm causing this because you've made a mockery of me. The 26th curse is, I'll not bless your children. That's what he says in verse 41. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. God said, you aren't going to be able to enjoy your children and grandchildren. They're going to be gone. The 27th curse is, I'll cause insects to destroy trees and produce. God says, you don't realize this. I control the crickets. I control the insects of the world. They do what I want them to do. If I want them to go tear up a crop, they do. I can order insects of the world, I control them all, to go destroy crops. And if you turn away from me and you stop worshiping me, that's what I'm going to do. The 28th curse is, God will allow foreigners to reach higher levels than his own people. That's what he says in verse 43. The alien who's among you shall rise above you higher. God says, I'll permit foreigners to get elected to office above my own people. Don't you see that happening? God says, I'll permit godless powers. They don't reverence me. They don't fear my son, Jesus Christ. They don't love the scriptures. I'll allow those people to come into power. I'll elevate them up. And it would almost appear to most people like I'm blessing them. The 29th curse is, I'll make my people borrow from godless lenders. That's what he says in verse 44. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, you'll be the tail. God says, I'll make it so that my people don't look like winners, they look like beggars. And as he wraps up the section, Moses reiterates four key realities that he wanted Israel to remember. He said in verse 45, the reason why these curses are coming against you is because, verse 45, you wouldn't obey the word of God. That's it. Simple. Obedience equals blessings. Disobedience equals cursing. God says, I promise you this. You turn away from me and don't get back into a right relationship with me, and I will see to it that your sin and you're refusing to deal with your sin will be tracked down by me. I'll do it nationally, internationally, and individually. Secondly, all these destructive curses should be assigned to the people of God so that they would want to obey the word of God. I mean, when you go down through this list, a logically thinking person would say to himself or herself, you know, this should send a signal. I don't want to end up this train wreck. I don't want to end up like this. I mean, Israel should look at what happened to her in her history, which included all these curses that we just went through. She should be looking at this and saying, you know what, where did we go wrong here? The third reality is all of these destructive curses, now look carefully at verse 47, will come because they did not joyfully serve the Lord with thankful hearts for the abundance of all things he gave them. Look at verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Here's where they went wrong. When God was blessing them, when God was prospering them, they got so arrogant and proud they forgot God. They don't need his word or will anymore. We've achieved this on our own. They actually stopped attending worship services. They stopped joyfully praising the Lord. And they did not thank him for the abundance of things that he gave them. They started thinking they had done it on their own. God said, because of that reality, you're experiencing all of the negative things that I'm throwing at you. And finally, God will permit awful things to happen to his own people until they're destroyed. Verse 48, therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. In other words, I will allow my people to lack everything until the moment they die. Now listen, God loves to exalt his people. God has a heart that wants to bless his people. God has a heart that wants to bless his people and they become trophies of his blessings. But in order for that to happen, they must have a focus that is on carefully understanding and applying the Word of God. And perhaps if you analyze your life today, you say, you know, it appears like my world's falling apart. My own private personal world is falling apart. Could it be that you've lost the right focus on Jesus Christ in the Scriptures? You see, the Apostle Paul warned that if God would do these things to national Israel, he said in Romans, don't you become arrogant to the point that you think he cannot do them to you. And the scariest thought of all is to read the words, "You have no Savior." There is a Savior. There's one Savior. There's only one Savior. It's Jesus Christ. And if you do not respond to grace and obey what the Lord and what the apostles said that you must do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Not only will you miss blessings in this life, you'll miss heaven in the next life. Let's pray. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, here's your chance right now, this morning, right where you sit or where you're listening to this via live stream. Just do honest business with God. Just admit the truth. You're a sinner like all of us. And invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and take over your life right now. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Obviously, you know we need a passage like this, or you wouldn't have gone to the trouble to preserve it and inspire it. I pray that the Holy Spirit would do the work that he must do with this passage in each of our minds and hearts. I pray we would have a healthy fear of you, a healthy reverence, a healthy understanding that you are a holy God. I pray we certainly would be thankful for the abundance of blessings you've given to us in grace, but may we never take them for granted. In Jesus' name, amen.